Welcome, and thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. For more information about our church, visit christislove.org.
Well, it was one of those times in life that I knew I wouldn't forget. It wouldn't be very easy to forget anyway. It was one of those relationships that I just knew this was going to be one of the defining moments in my life. It had the capability of being that powerful. I remember on that day sitting at a table, and there she was sitting across from me having lunch. And I remember looking in those beautiful blue eyes, and I just remember, man, this is something special. And I absolutely remember just our conversations. It's one of those relationships you could be on the phone for hours and really you don't even really care how much sleep you get. I mean, it was an incredible thing. We really only known each other for a few months, but it was so powerful. And it was one of the most beautiful relationships. And I knew that because of her, my life would not be the same. It had that much power in it. You see, I was in 10th grade. What? And there across from the cafeteria lunch table was Wendy Bowersox. I have permission from my wife to share this story, okay? So we're cool, all right? And there was Wendy sitting across from me. And I'm telling you, Wendy and I, we were in love. She was my girlfriend. And the best part about that was she knew it. I mean, that was the bonus part. And I'm telling you, Wendy and I, she was the first girlfriend I had ever had. And she was the first girl I had ever said, I love you to. I mean, I just knew this was special. And this was going to change my life, my relationship with Wendy. And I remember being at that table, and I remember telling her I love her. And I remember looking across at her and saying, we're in love. And just being so filled with joy and happiness. I was so excited. And then with those beautiful blue eyes and that sweet voice, she said three words right back to me. Just changed my life forever. She said, we're breaking up. You laugh at that? I'm being real here, broken heart out here on the stage, and y'all are laughing? You're supposed to go, okay, all right, so we're going to back up. I'm going to say that part again, and at the time she breaks up with me, can we get some, sympathy, okay? All right, so. All right, so there we were sitting across from each other. I had just said to Wendy, we're in love. And she says back to me, we're breaking up. You fakers, that sounded so forced. I'm telling you, I was wrecked. I went home brokenhearted. I couldn't believe what had just happened. When I went back to school 3 weeks later, what, is that not normal? Yeah, when I went back, I remember getting the guts enough to ask Wendy, why did you break up with me? I thought what we had was special. I mean, we even had a song. That's true love, right? When you have a song. And this was 1995. It was Bon Jovi, Always. And I'll love you. Yeah, see, y'all need to go back and listen to that. That was the classic one. So, we had a song. We had something. I was just like, Wendy, why? And now, Wendy was younger than me. We weren't in the same grade. And she had an older brother, Jeremy. And Jeremy and I were in the same grade. And she was like, well, Jeremy kept saying to me, I can't believe you're dating Steve Kipe. He's such a dork. That wasn't supposed to be funny either, okay? Man, y'all are brutal to me today. So I just remember that just kind of tearing me apart. Like, man, she thinks I'm a dork. And I'm like, hold on a second. I'm in the band. I play tenor sax. I was fourth chair. Now, hold on. It wasn't in the region. It wasn't in the state or even the county. I was fourth chair out of four in my high school. But now that I think about it, maybe Jeremy had a point. Okay, so I'm like, here I am, I'm a dork. And Wendy, the love of my life, just broke up with me because her older brother says, you are dating Steve, and he is such a dork. And it changed. Something in my mind just changed at that moment. And I just started saying to myself, all right, whatever it takes from this point forward, I don't want that feeling again. I'm going to be popular. People are going. Yeah, that was funny too, wasn't it? Yeah. This is just comedy hour, roast of Steve today. And And I was like, I'm going to be popular. I'm going to be cool. It doesn't matter what it's going to have to cost me to do. I am going to have some friends that people are going to think I'm cool and want to be around me. And because of that, I started going in that direction. I became incredibly sarcastic. I was extremely rude. If I had a little thing on the bite of my, or on the tip of my tongue that could cut you down and make people laugh at you instead of at me, I did it every single time. I was in high school, but yet I started drinking to try and fit in with some people there. When that got into college, that became an even bigger problem. And in fact, that absolutely led to partying on a huge level and getting into drugs and just going way, way, way farther than I really thought I would go. But the crazy thing was that I was at a place in college that how hard I partied, people would call me. I'd be like, Steve, where are you going tonight? And I was like, I got there. I wanted to be popular. I wanted to be cool. And now people are calling me asking where I'm going. And I'm like, I did it. And I share that story with you this morning because I had to fill 35 minutes. Kidding. Now, I share that story with you guys because it is the whole point of what it is we're talking about today, which is your thoughts, your life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. And please notice, it doesn't say your life will move in the direction of your most positive thoughts, because that's not true. It will move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. God bless you. So, in other words, if you think you can't, you probably won't. If you think life will be bad, it will probably be bad. If you don't think you have anything to offer, you probably won't make a difference. Now, the flip side is also true. That if you think you can, you probably will. If you believe there are opportunities out there for you, you will see those opportunities. If you believe God is for you and with you, then you will feel his power and his presence in your life. So we have to understand that your thoughts matter. My thoughts matter. What we get so focused on in our minds, it matters, because your life and my life will always move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. So as we kind of get into this a little bit today, if it's your first time here, we're in a topic over this beginning of the year where we're trying to learn how to renew our mind. So today we're going to be talking about this, all these like negative thoughts and what do we do with that kind of thing. So what we're going to do to get us started is we're going to do a thought audit. Okay, so if you have a program or a bulletin with you, if you open it up, it's in there. It's also on our mobile app. If you want to open that up, you can follow along with this. So if you don't know what a thought audit is, what we're going to do is we're going to think about what it is we think about. Okay, so we're going to have a couple of categories we're going to look at here. So the first thing is thinking about what we think about. If you just go back maybe even last week or maybe a year or two or this season of your life, or maybe this has been you your whole life, how would you rate on this scale? I mean, when you think about what it is you think about, do your thoughts drift more towards stuff that makes you worry? You know, do you worry about your kids? Do you worry about your relationships? Do you worry about your job? Do you, you know, did your credit card bill come in and you're just like, what did I do last month? And you're worried about your finances. What is it for you? Do you, maybe your cat ran away and you're worried he might come back? You know, I mean, so just, what is it? Where is it on the scale? Do you focus more towards, you think more towards the worry, or are you on the other side and you think more towards the peaceful, where you just, there's just like this bathing, this covering of God's peace that just transcends all understanding, and you're just like, hey, I'm good. You know, and it's, hey, I have all these peaceful thoughts. I never worry about anything. There's nothing there. I just know God is completely over me. And you are just the most peaceful person in the world, that some people think you're a little, right? But you're just peaceful, and your thoughts are all peaceful. So go ahead and circle a number between 1 and 10 there for you. Next one is negative versus positive. Now, if we're honest, some of you have the spiritual gift of negativity, right? Yeah, like you see what's wrong before there's even a chance of seeing anything that's right. You're very critical of people, and you're just constantly negative. A lot of times you're not even happy with yourself. You'll go through life being like, man, if only I could be married, then I'd be happy. And then you're married. And then you know what's coming, right? If only I had kids, then I'd be happy. And then you have kids. And then you're like, if only I had somebody else's kids, I'd be happy, right? So, but you just go towards the negative. When you think about what it is you think about, when it comes to being negative and being positive, you go towards the negative. Or are you on the other side and you are extremely positive? Just your thoughts, you just wake up and you just feel great. You just know that God is going to work everything in your life for the good of those who love him. And even though some stuff is going on in your life and it's bad and you don't know why, but you're just like, hey, God's got this. And all your thoughts are 100% positive all the time. Go ahead and fill in a circle, a number there for 1 to 10 on that one. And then the last one is going to be our thoughts. What do we, thinking about what it is we think about, between worldly and eternal. So do you think more about stuff that is, wow, you just got a new outfit and now you're really concerned with what shoes you're going to get to match it? Okay, someone's guilty over here. You're thinking about, wow, honestly, I'm really concerned and I really want people to like my pictures on Instagram, you know, or how many likes you're getting on Facebook. I mean, and you're just kind of consumed with that stuff, or you actually are influenced by other people and it affects just everything you do because you're so caught up in the world. You're like, man, I don't know what people would think of me if I drove that kind of car. So I'm actually going to blow more money than I actually have to buy this car so people think of me a little differently. I mean, how many, you know, your thoughts are just kind of about worldly stuff compared to maybe some of you, your thoughts are all about eternal stuff. You wake up and you're just like, God, this day is for you. Just everything I do, it's just going to be for you. And I just want your heart and my heart. So I love the people that you love, how you want me to love them. And that's just you all the time. And you got some stuff, but you're like, man, God, everything you've blessed me with, help me to use that to show your love to other people. And you're just all about everything eternal. Go ahead and circle something there. Okay, so if you did not circle a 10, a 10, and a 10, the good news is this message is for you. And if you didn't circle a 10, a 10, and a 10, the good news for us is that there is room for us to improve. Because the reason why this is so important, the things we get focused on in our mind, our lives will move in that direction every single time. Our thought life is so important. In fact, I would even venture a guess that there's at least a few people out here that your greatest regret started with a thought. I'm not happy in my marriage. I'm not at a place financially that I want to be. I don't really believe my parents love me. Some of your greatest regrets started because of a thought. And it's either something that you thought of or it's something that somebody else put in your head. But a lot of us, some of our greatest regrets are because of a thought. And then our lives did what? Our lives moved in the direction of our strongest thoughts. Because we are surrounded by a world, billboards we drive by, magazine racks we stand by, we are bombarded by the world to worry about this, feel negative about this. Hey, you got to have this if you want to be happy. And we are just surrounded by it so strongly. And I think it's part of the reason why God inspired Paul to write this in the book of Romans chapter 12. He said, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. By the renewing of your mind. Another translation puts it this way. It says, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by doing what? Changing the way you think. So you see, it starts up here. It could say, hey, you know what? We're gonna start by making you better, making you a new person by changing your words or by changing your actions. But no. Because it starts right here. Because your life and my life will always move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. So Paul's saying, if you want to become a new person, you have to let God transform you by the renewing of your mind, by changing the way you think. And then once you do that, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. You see, a lot of us, we want this part without doing the first part. You know, we want what God's will is for our lives, all the good and pleasing and perfect stuff, but yet we haven't submitted to him to a point where we're like, God, make us a new person. Help us change the way we think. Help us renew our mind. We haven't done that part, but yet we want the second. And if you notice in Scripture, it says you have to renew your mind. You have to change the way you think. Then at that point, you will start to know God's will for your life. So, I mean, don't go walk around thinking, you know, all these positive thoughts of God wants me to be a millionaire. Okay, and you just keep thinking that way, and you just think that that's going to happen. That's not the point of this. That, if it's God's will, okay, but it is, hey, I'm going to focus on changing the way I think, renewing my mind, and then I will see God's will for my life. So it really just begs us to ask the question, how do I change my thoughts? And I'm so glad you asked, because we're going to talk about two things that we can start doing right now that can start changing the way we think and help us start to renew our mind. And the first thing is, we need to capture destructive thoughts. Paul wrote this in Corinthians, and at the point when he was talking to the Corinthians in history, they were actually believing a whole bunch of lies. There were a whole bunch of false teachers and everything going on. It was really, really bad. So Paul said this. He said, "For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. In fact, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world," which is really good news. So everything that we are battled and we have coming at us from the world, we have something better to fight back with. And he lets us know what that is. He says, "On the contrary, they have divine power," the power that's available to us. "They have the power to demolish strongholds." And I love that word demolish, because I'm like an action guy, so I just think of like blow it up, right? I mean, put some C4 in there. It has the power to blow up and demolish strongholds. Because maybe you didn't know this, is that our greatest enemy, Satan, he is the father of lies. Maybe you didn't know that, but it says he's a liar and he's a father of lies. What he wants to do more than anything is he wants you to get so focused and fixed on a thought that is a lie. Because if you get so focused on something that's a lie, that isn't the truth, your whole life will start moving in that direction. Because he doesn't want you to know the truth. Because Jesus said in John 8, he said, when you know the truth will set you free. And, you know, you don't need to be a Bible scholar to know that free is the complete opposite of a stronghold. Some of us, we're so caught up in things because our minds are just focused on negative things, worldly things, things about anxiety, and we're just so caught up in all this stuff that we don't have freedom. We feel we're in a stronghold, and it's because we need to change. We need to grab a hold of that and demolish that stronghold. Because Paul continues, he says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God." And I love this. This is so action-packed. "We take captive of every thought and then make it obedient to Christ." You see, this is a team effort here. This isn't just God says you're on your own. He was like, no. Let me help you renew your mind. Let me help you change the way you think. And then our part is we have to capture negative thoughts. We need to recognize what is negative and what is not standing to the knowledge of God. And I really, the cool example I have of this was over the summer, and I absolutely love Sarah and Heather and our backyard people who love on our kids. Over the summer, they did this thing with the kids in the backyard called Truth or Trash. If you got parents back there, you did this before. And it's so cool. They came home with these little cards, and it would have things on it that would look like this. It said, "I'm not good at anything, truth or trash." And so, you know, the girls would look at it and be like, okay, I'm not good at anything. And then what we do is you capture that, and then you say, okay, based on the knowledge of God, is that truth or is it trash? And of course, you know, I've got daughters, so they get super attitudes with it. And they're like, "Oh, Daddy, that's trash," right? And they're like, no, that's trash, Daddy. That's trash. And then, all right, so we'll try another one. "God doesn't love me." That's a huge lie we hear in the world. Because of what we're going through, we think God doesn't love us because of the struggles we're going through. So we like to believe the lie that, wow, God doesn't love me. Well, does that stand up with the knowledge of God? Is that truth or is that trash? 1, 2, 3. Okay, that was pretty good, but I want some more attitude with it, okay? All right, because it's going to make you feel better. God doesn't love you, truth or trash? See, y'all feel better. You feel more confident about yourself, right? That's right, because that's trash. So what that thing was doing with our kids is it is helping our kids at a young age discern what is truth, what stands up to the knowledge of God, and what is trash. And that is so powerful because They are going to be bombarded with all kinds of stuff that's going to tell them they're not good enough. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need to, oh, no, you don't want to go there. And, hey, everyone's doing it. And they need to know just as much as you and I need to know how to discern God's will for our lives and whether what is being fed to us and what is in our minds, is it true or is it trash? And if it's trash, we need to take it captive, and we need to make that thought obedient to Christ. So the first thing we need to do is we need to capture destructive thoughts. All those thoughts that you have, I'm not good, I won't make a difference, I've messed up. No, 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 no. You grab those, you realize they're trash, and then you make them obedient to Christ. And that sometimes we'll be like, well, how do I do that? And that leads us to the next thing is we need to fix our thoughts on spiritual things. You need, and it's not that your thoughts are broken, but you need to fix or you need to focus your thoughts on spiritual things. Paul wrote this from a prison. Don't miss that. He was in prison when he writes this. He says, now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. What are the next three words? Fix your thoughts on what is bad, because nothing's going to go your way in life and your dog's going to run away. Man, y'all are good. That's right. See, that's trash, because you know that's not God's word. You know that. Actually, what he says is he says, fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Now, see, all of us, we can think of something like that. So it's, okay, we got to capture the negative thoughts, realize it's trash, make it obedient to Christ by fixing and focusing on spiritual things that are worthy of praise. And I love how Paul, and he just doesn't end there. He says this, which I think is so powerful. He says, keep putting into practice all you have learned and received from me. Meaning, this isn't a one-time fix. This is something that we will battle with constantly throughout our lives. Our enemy will be constantly trying to fill our head with lies to get our lives to move in that direction, because he doesn't want us knowing the truth that'll set us free. So you have to keep doing this. Then the God of peace will be with you. Now, I know you're probably saying, wow, Steve, that's really cool, but that is hard to do. And I would agree with you. It is. It is not easy to change your thinking, but it's simple. It may not be easy to do, but how you and I do it is simple. We need to capture those negative thoughts, the worried thoughts, the anxiety. We have to capture those, make them obedient to Christ, and then we need to fix our thoughts on spiritual things. And even though we're probably thinking, man, that's really, really hard, when you think about it, it isn't maybe as hard as what we think, because you will always find what it is you're looking for. Have you ever realized that? Have you ever seen the difference between a vulture and a hummingbird? I mean, a vulture flies around all day long looking for what? Dead stuff, right? So a vulture's flying around, you know, there's a dead fish, dead squirrel, they're like, jackpot! And they go down and they feast. Yeah, and now, on the flip side, a hummingbird is just, you know, kind of flapping around. And what do hummingbirds look for? Nectar. They look for stuff that is sweet. So check this out. Every single day, there are dead things to be found and there are sweet things to be found. But you will always find what it is you are looking for. If you are looking for a way to get out of your marriage, I promise you, you'll find one. If you are looking for a way to kind of try and undercut someone so you can get the promotion instead of somebody else, I guarantee you, you'll find a way to do it. If your thoughts are all caught up on, you know, just, wow, the whole world's doing it, it's okay, I promise you, you will find exactly what it is you're looking for. And do you know why? Because your life and my life will always move in the direction of our strongest thoughts. You see, some of us, we need to just have one thought that we need to focus on that could change everything for us. I know for me, this happened a couple of years ago. About 6 or 7 years ago, I went to Pastor Jeff, and there was just something on my heart that I wanted to share. And I was just like, hey, Jeff, you know, there's this message on my heart. I really want to share this. You know, can I do it? And of course, he's like, no. Kidding. So he started walking me through the process of how to communicate God's word. And then I stood up here and I gave a message, and like it was about 6 or 7 years ago. And if you're new here, man, one thing we want you guys to know is that we are all about God changing the world one relationship at a time, and we get to be a part of that. And every single Sunday, we aren't ashamed to open up an invitation to have people follow Jesus if they never have before. And Jeff will stand up here and open an invitation. And as I started doing some messages, he asked me, "Do you want to give the invitation?" And I was like, No, I do not. Because you know what my mind was fixed on? You know what I was focusing on? What if nobody puts a hand up? Man, that makes me look bad, doesn't it? I guess I didn't preach good that day. I guess I didn't have a good, I guess God wasn't, you know, speaking today because no one put their hand up. And I'm telling you, I went through, I don't know, maybe I preached, I don't know, 10 or 12 times, and every single time Jeff would ask me beforehand, "Do you want to do the invitation?" And as soon as I was done, I was hightailing it right over there, side stage. And then Jeff would come up and he would do the invitation. Until one day, I came up and I did a message. And Jeff stood probably right about here. And he kind of wrapped it up a little bit. And then he said, "Now Steve's going to come out and offer the invitation." I was like, "Say what?" Man, I'm like, Jeff, we didn't talk about this. I didn't practice this. I didn't rehearse this. And you know what thought was going through my head right then? Oh, I was like, "There's no way God's going to use someone who just had a bad word in his head. No way." Just being honest, people. All right. And I remember coming out being scared to death. And I was just like, "All right, God, you got to take over because I am so scared. What if no one puts a hand up?" And I truly believe that God just filled me with the words to say. And it was one of the most beautiful invitations to Christ I think I could have ever given. You know how many people put their hands up? Zero. Zero. And Jeff just, in his brilliant way, I think knew it kind of bugged me. And I was just like, "Oh, junk. Right there it is. That's why I didn't want to do it." And of course, Jeff's just like, "Oh, that's great. We're all going to heaven." And yeah, so, you know, we laughed and, you know, left. And I got to tell you, I don't have any recollection of him walking me through any other process, being like, "Well, this is what you need to say." And this, I don't remember him ever bringing up the fact that no one raised their hand when I gave an invitation. He just continued to help me figure out how to be a good communicator of God's word. And you know what thought changed for me in that process? I had one thought and it changed everything. And that thought was, I can't save anybody. As much as we love Jeff and we love how God speaks to him and we just hear God's word from him, Jeff can't save anybody either. And when I had a change of thought like that, it changed everything. Because I then started to realize, whoa, hold on. I know the power of Jesus being in someone's life because I know what he rescued me from. And if he can do that for me, he could do it for anybody. So why in the world was I scared to offer an invitation that would change someone's life forever, for eternity? Everything changed because of one thought. You see, there's probably some of us in here today that we're struggling with some stuff, with some negative thoughts, some worried thoughts, and we need one thought, a spiritual thing to focus on that'll change everything for us. Because for some of us, we've probably been believing a lie way too long. For some of you, maybe you want to be a little more unselfish. And you just need a thought of less of me, more of him. Less of me, more of him. For some of you, you want to be more of a generous person. And you just need a thought of, I'm a generous person. I'm a generous person. I'm a generous person. And I guarantee you, you will find ways to be generous, to make an impact for the kingdom of God. For some of you, you want to be a little more courageous. And you need to have a thought of, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. All things. That means all things, no matter what it is you're going through. Some of you, you want to be an overcomer. You're just battling some stuff in your life and it's really messing with your head. And you just need to have a thought of, God uses everything for the good of those who love him. Everything. And if I fix my thoughts on that spiritual truth, oh, it could change everything. For ladies in here who are married, you know, maybe you have a bit of a bozo husband and your thought needs to be, I need to be more loving. In fact, I need a thought of, I'm going to love him with the love of Christ, regardless of the fact that he can be a bozo. I'm going to love him with the love of Christ. Men, you need to start having a thought towards your wife of, I love her the way Christ loved the church. And if you don't know what that means, you need to find out and do it. And I guarantee you, it'll change everything. Some of you in here today, you're battling with so many negative thoughts about people because of things they've done to you in your life. You need to have a word of being a forgiver and having a thought of, I can forgive because God has forgiven me. And every single time you have a negative thought about someone who's done wrong, not that they haven't wronged you, and they may never even say they're sorry, but we still need to forgive because God forgave you and God forgave me. There might be some of you in here today, you need a thought of just knowing that you are forgiven. You may have never in your life known the fact that your Heavenly Father loves you very much. And you think just because you've screwed up and you've messed up and your life is a wreck and you're really nowhere and there's nothing to show for it and you think God can't use you, that's trash. And maybe you need to have a thought, maybe for the first time today, is that, God, I believe that even though I am a sinner, Christ died for me. I know what that feels like. There's a lot of people in here who knows what that feels like to truly be forgiven regardless of your mess. See, for so many of us in here today, we might be one thought away from our life being completely different, completely changed. And my prayer for us today is that we would pray for God to renew our minds, change the way we think, help us discern what is a lie and not believe those lies anymore. Allow us to get rid of the lies and start living in the truth that'll set us free. That even though, yeah, we've messed up, you know what? God can still use you. So what thought is it for you that could change your life today? You can walk out of this place different because you're not believing a lie that you've been believing for a long time. You do know your life and my life will always move in the direction of your strongest thoughts. So what thought are you fixed on? What lies do you need to get rid of? We're going to enter into the time that I think is the most important time we're going to do today. And that's the time where it's between you and God. And I understand if you have to work and you need to leave early, I completely get that. But if you're one of those people who have believed the lie that this part isn't important and you're trying to get to your car early, I would pray you would see the truth and that is a lie. That this might be the time that God wants to do something in you. And if you have to leave, I get it. But if you don't believe the lie that this time isn't important. Heavenly Father God, for those of us who are in here, and we know the power that you can give us through your Son that lives inside of us, God. But yet we still get mixed up with the world and then the customs and the behaviors, and we get so caught up on worried thoughts and negative thoughts and just stuff of this world. God, we pray that you would forgive us for that. God, we pray that you would renew our mind. Would you change our thinking by focusing on things that are of you and worthy of praise, God. God, for those who are in here today and they have never once accepted your Son as their Savior because they believe the lies that they're no good,
that you don't love them. God, we pray that you would set them free from that stronghold and you would break it. And God, we pray that they would leave here knowing the truth that will set them free, that you loved each and one of us so much, that you sent your son to this world to live a perfect life and die on a cross so we can have a relationship with you. That's how much you love us. God, we pray as we enter into this time that this is our time with you, that you would demolish the lies that some of us are believing, and that you would speak the truth that'll set us free today, God. However it is you are working in each one of our hearts today, God, God, we want to take this time and give it to you. Allow us to leave here changed because of the grace and the beauty of your love, mercy, and forgiveness that we all so desperately need.
Thanks again for listening to this podcast by Christ United. For more information, visit us at christislove.org.